from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. You're listening to American Heroes, hosted by Cliff Kelly on WVON AM 1690.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Partner Veterans United. Today is Saturday, April 3rd, 2021. April is Sexual Assault Awareness and National Death History Month. So make sure you learn about the sexual assault and make sure that you help those people who are suffering from the consequences of it. Our host is Cliff Kelly, the governor of Talk Radio. I am his co-host, Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Our executive producer is Glenda Smith, and our digital media producer is Manny Carazzari. Today's topic, we actually have a special panelist with us, Teron Sims II. He is a U.S. Army combat veteran, businessman, political leader, and a graduate of West Point. So quite an accomplished history already on his short time Earth he's been on, because he looks young, too. So I think he has a lot more to go. So he is here to discuss the Republicans' direct attack on the Voting Rights Act, how it will directly affect military family members, their ability to vote and to participate in a democracy they fought to defend. How are you doing?
I'm well, sir. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Yeah, so tell us more about this, because I know that this is happening in Georgia. We always hear in the news all the things that are happening across the country, that it's actually happening in 43 states, I think, across the country. But, you know, tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that, sir. Right, so there are 43 other states that are putting in additional legislation in an attempt to infringe, stymie, hamper, make it more difficult for we the people to vote. This really started, I wish I could remember the year, not too long ago, I'd say about 5-6 years ago, when the Voting Rights Act lapsed and it didn't get renewed with another vote in the Senate, and Chief Justice Roberts stated that it was okay, quote unquote, for pretty much the majority of your southern states and some of the midwestern states to not adhere to certain aspects of the Voting Rights Act.
Yes.
The 1964 Voting Rights Act that created certain checks and balances for the states to ensure that they weren't infringing on people's right to vote. In this case, Black people, you know, the spirit of the legislation. And so North Carolina was the first that led the way in making it harder for people to vote. And so now, in the present, 2021, you know, Georgia Republican leaders are, I hate even saying it to an extent, but throwing a hissy fit, right? So the voting laws that existed in Georgia were crafted by the Republicans. Black people being as ingenious as we tend to have to be because of our history, we're able to, you know, work around their rule, and we won the White House in Georgia. We won, you know, Warnock and Ossoff Senate seats in Georgia. So now, so like, you know, they took a look at their rules, and since they realized that we figured out how to beat them with their rule, that they've got to make up new rules.
Right.
In an attempt to stop us from beating them again.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, you know. So if you don't like the outcome of the game, change the rules, huh?
Right, pretty much.
Yeah.
Exactly what's happening.
So why is it so much of an infringement? You know, because we have this, you know, democratic system that was set up so that we could fully participate in government as citizens, right? So mm-hmm. the elected officials are really our workers. we're the ones who put them in office. We're the ones who pay the taxes that pay their benefits and their salaries. So they are actually our workers. And, for them to be working against us seems to be unconscionable. I can't see how they get the right to work against those people who are actually put them in office and are supporting them. And it's a question about whether you should stay in office if you're the one that actually is participating in abridging the rights of citizens. And when you when you do it with veterans, it's particularly egregious, right? Because you're a combat veteran, right? Going into Iraq, Afghanistan, and going to those regions is no easy task. And you have to have a lot of guts and courage to do that. So coming back home, to have your right abridged and the family members that you were overseas fighting for and the other citizens having their rights abridged is really a horrible thing. It's almost tantamount to January 6th siege on the Capitol, right?
Right. And so, I mean, if you look at, like, our active duty members and their family members who, a large number of them vote absentee, right, their rights are, the infringement is threatened because generally there's, like, a grace period. So let's say the absentee ballot is postmarked on election day. Then that ballot will still get counted. Mm-hmm. But now it's up in the air if their absentee ballot is going to get counted. And, if I'm a Georgia resident, we'll just use Georgia as an example since they're the ones in the headlines right now. But if I'm a Georgia resident and I'm stationed, pick a place, Fort Lewis, Washington, right? Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not watching MSNBC and CNN all day, I'm not knowing that there's no way for me to know that the laws have changed, right? And so let's say I get my absentee ballot, right? Let's say I'm proactive, because I think now it's illegal, or they're trying to make it illegal for certain parties to mail you your an absentee ballot. Let's say I get mine and I go vote. Using it, it's not guaranteed now that my vote's going to count.
Right. That's just horrendous, right? And you take the time to vote because it's your right and it's your duty as a citizen, to make sure that we are, holding elected officials to be accountable to the things that we are demanding as people. Because it was really the Constitution was set up so that no one, and even George Washington realized that, right? He, I think, he did two terms and they were trying to get him to do a third term. And he said, absolutely not, because I'm not a king or a dictator. And,
right.
And that's, so he realized that this whole thing was about the people. And I remember, I was a director for the Illinois Department of Public Health. And one of the legislators asked me one time, and it was, shortly after I had gotten in office, they asked me, they said, this thing is so, you have so many things to contend with. He said, what made you come and join this thing? And I said, there are three words. And he said, what? And I said, they're right over your desk. We the people. I said, they're in your chambers. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm here for the people. I'm not here for anything else. And,
right.
And so we have to really get back to that where, the people who are being entrusted with taking care of it. The first duty of the government is right to protect. And one of the things is to protect our right to vote.
Right.
Yeah. So what do you think we should be going from here? How can people get involved in this process, or how should we get involved, especially as veterans?
I think, veterans, because, you said it pretty well. It's a good segue in that, sir. It's we the people, right? So we all serve. So we all servants, one extent to another, right?
Right.
whether it's serving our soldiers, our subordinates, or leadership, right? Or if you being a medical corpsman, friggin', you know, wounded soldiers and so forth. And so I think veterans, because we're all civilians now, need to find a way to continue serving.
Right.
Whether that means, if you're a parent and joining your kid's PTA, or becoming politically involved, however you would want to define that, or your local civic organization, or the NAACP, you name it. But I think veterans need to serve, because we can't afford what occurred January 6th to happen again. We can't afford to put ourselves in a position to where we wake up one day, like Georgians did, and find out that our rights are being taken away, or our rights are being infringed upon, or they're being hindered, right? Because the argument that some Republicans would say, and I have a lot of Republican friends, they'll say, well, you know, your right to vote is not being hindered, right? Because to them that means, well, you can still vote, right?
Right.
But sure it is. To the extent, you know, if we have all these amendments, why should one amendment be held higher, i.e. the Second Amendment, right, than my right to vote, right?
Right.
To your point, if this is a servant government, right, if we're voting for people to serve us, then at the same time, we should be making it however the we is defined, but I guess in this case elected officials, making it as easy as possible for people to vote.
Yes.
And
yes.
If there are already systems in place in which people are comfortable when it comes to them voting, then those systems shouldn't be removed. If anything, they should either be improved upon or used as an example in other states.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. We should be, you know, making sure that this is something that people are, you know, intimately engaged in. It's an issue, because now we're even into the time period where we're talking about, you know, civil rights. We're talking about, you know, institutional racism and all the other issues that are going on. And this is a basic right. I mean, it is, without being involved in the voting process, which is that you know, the forefathers of this country found it was, and it said taxation without representation, no law should be passed without representation of the people, and
that's
how we got away from things like the original British rule. We got away from people like the dictators that many of us have been on the battlefield defending against. And, so in Iraq, we had Saddam Hussein, right? And we have, dictators still like Putin in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And we have dictators all around the world. And we cannot afford to have the dictators here. And there's some arguments about whether we've had one already or not. But we need to be on constant guard against something like that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think to your point, the only way we can do that is if we're out there in the community.
Yes.
Right? Because if we're just, we're talking about veterans, if we're just going to work and coming home, or going to work and going to the bar and coming home, or going to work and going to play basketball and going home.
Right.
And somewhere in there isn't that connection with the community, however that community is defined, then we're not going to be aware of the egregious changes that are occurring around us. And then we wake up, and again, just like Georgia.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? I would say that Georgians are awake now, but 2 years ago, 4 years ago, when those individuals were elected to office who are now changing their laws, they weren't awake then.
Right. Yes.
So now it's incumbent upon people to take this We got punched in the mouth. Okay, I'm awake. I'm alert.
Yeah.
Right. And now it's time for everyone to take some form of action and be proactive in shaping our society in the manner in which we feel it ought to be.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And, in Georgia, I guess they're, all the legislators are down there pushing people, to contact their elected officials, congressional members and senators and all, the congressional members that, are actually right now looking at these things. And then we had even a legislator being arrested, right, knocking on the door of a chamber. And that was just, I saw some, images of that, that happening. And what they did was they put that right next to people knocking on the door of the Capitol, right, on January 6th and smashing windows. And they didn't seem to be arrested, or there was no real resistance against them actually entering the building and taking over seats. Nothing substantial. But we really have a long way to go and start thinking about what these things mean. It's back in, towards the time, there was a rabbi who once said it was during, the Nazi regime. And he said, they came and they took, this person who was across the street from me. And then they came, I'm just paraphrasing, but they came and took the man who owned the grocery store. And then so no one spoke up. And then they came and they took the little girl on the street, and no one spoke up. And then they came to take me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. And we have got to get out here and make sure that every citizen, every voting person has the right to actually vote. That's just a basic premise. And for those people who are, voting against people having votes, there's a question about whether they should be remaining in office. I mean, my personal view is that if you want to abridge my rights to vote, then you don't need to be sitting in that seat.
I fully agree. I fully agree, because they are definitely are not afraid to let us know who they are.
That's right.
With respect to what's in here and how they feel about us.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you were saying about the Second Amendment. So they're more vocal about taking away assault weapons than they are about taking away the vote.
Right.
Yeah. Which makes
they want to make it much easier for us to go buy an assault rifle than to go vote.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
None. And actually, I wrote something when I was in the Naval Postgraduate School, but we had this little debate. And the way I won the debate was because I was saying, these assault rifles where people are doing mass shootings, we need to have better control over them. And I brought up the issue about, one of the things that was banned back in the 1950s, it was the use of a switchblade knife. And I said, so we banned a switchblade knife, and everyone thought it was too much of an assaultive weapon. So they actually pushed past laws and got rid of it. So now switchblade knife is illegal, but an assault weapon isn't.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense at all.
And brass knuckles.
And brass knuckles.
Yeah.
But, it's just the people who are making these laws need to start thinking about their logic and not being a gathering of psychopaths. So I'm not going to go into the initials for that, but. Okay, really good, really good. Thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to having you back on, Teron, because you have a lot to tell us about, and I'm so proud of your history and what you've done, and thank you for your service to this country. And, thank you, Partner Veterans United. And we are going to go to a commercial break, and stay with us, because we have a lot more to go.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
War is not the answer. Hi, I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hi, this is Cliff Kelly, the host of America's Heroes Group. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident or the result of malpractice, you have only one chance to get the compensation you deserve. You need a law firm you can trust with experience and resources who will fight on your behalf. With a proven track record of excellence both in and out of the courtroom, call Seidman, Margulis, and Fairman at 312-781-1977 for a free consultation, or visit SeidmanLaw.net. That's Seidman, SeidmanLaw.net.
Hey Cliff, where can a veteran business owner go on the south side of Chicago for breakfast, lunch, and dinner meetings?
I'm a veteran, and that's an easy answer. Pearl's Place on 39th and Michigan. Pearl's Place has free parking available across the street. Reasonably priced, quality food that tastes delicious. Veteran owners, there's no place like Pearl's Place.
Governor of Talk Radio, your executive producer wants to know, where can I go for delicious shrimp? Any suggestions?
Absolutely. The one and only veteran business owner, Harris Gulf Shrimp, at 7448 Vincennes. I personally eat there. The price and shrimp are nothing other than fantastic.
Thank you, the one and only Governor of Talk Radio.
Market, advertise, and sponsor your business with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group, where information and resources are intentionally disseminated via radio, print, and social media. Call our office for more details at 312-803-2618.
Tabak Law is proud to sponsor and partner with Vietnam veteran Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group. I'm attorney Monica Ireland Karras of Tabak Law. If you're a veteran and you have been wrongfully denied your VA benefits, or you feel your condition was not properly evaluated by the VA, visit TabakAttorneys.com. At Tabak Law, we fight for those who fought for us. 414-375-1735.